Hi, this is Nadira of the Radio First Termer Iraq Show. The Rabbit Zone show that you are about to experience is brought to you in high definition Dave Rabbit audio.
And you will stand there peering at the unraveling of a dark line across the chasm. And you will not philosophize, decide, weigh. You will simply put your head down and start moving, feeling your way inch by inch, unguided by voices, using only the sound of your own sound reflected, feeling the rope of the narrow bridge. This is your protection as you move towards the end of the millennium. Every moment spent bent over work, not cutting corners, doing things with care, is protection, is the bridge to carry you through the darkness. For to do something with care is the closest thing to the feeling of love that can be found. It is all I know. This is protection. This is the narrow bridge. When the hand reaches out for the drink, for the drug, and it grabs a claw instead, and you protest, and you start to clean, and you clean the corners like they've never been cleaned before. Then you weep as you clean, but you keep on going. And in this tiny gesture of respect, the protection is found, and the cape of grace moves softly down about the shoulders, drawing a safety line out to love.
Gimme. Gimme.
You call that heart,
gimme. Gimme.
You call this cold,
gimme. Gimme.
That's nothing.
Go.
You call that loving. You call that rain. You call that giving. You call this pain. You call that sad. You call that tough. Well, it's not tough enough. Come on, 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 come on. Let me into your temple. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Rabbit Zone. Now, those of you that have been fans of Dave Rabbit and Radio First Termer and the Rabbit Zone, and now the newly established show of ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com, you know that my roots are hard rock music. I have been a hard rocker since the 60s when I had my own band, and that's just really been my roots. Well, I have a confession to make. I have a kinder, gentler Dave side that absolutely is something I'm going to share with you, and I think you're really going to be amazed. Now, you already heard the intro. You already heard a couple of the songs from the artist that we're going to have the pleasure of talking to for a few minutes, and I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and so let's get to it. We're now going to be talking to the artist that it now goes by the name of Issa, which is ISSA, formerly Jane Siberry. Hey, Issa, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm very good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today on the Rabbit Zone, because I have been a fan of yours since 2000. I don't want to say at this point of the interview how I became a fan, but I've been a fan of yours for like going on 7 years now, and I'm just constantly blown away by your creativity and your artistry, and your voice just absolutely is drop-dead gorgeous. So let's get started here. The first thing I want to talk about, before we talk about the intro music that we did, you recently changed your name to Issa from Jane Siberry. So I know I read somewhere where it said it was time. Now, what do you mean by it was time?
You know when you have a coat that you love but doesn't quite fit you anymore?
Right.
That's what Jane Siberry felt like to me. And I had felt that way for about 4 years, Dave, and sort of waiting to find the right name. And finally it sort of came to me, so I chose the right date to do it, and then I didn't talk to anyone on that day.
So, in other words, you kind of went into a self-observation mode because you were kind of transforming yourself mentally to the new name?
It just felt very private and intimate. It is a really intimate name. Is your real name Rabbit?
No, it is not.
Then maybe you know what I mean. But
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's very intimate, and I even had to take time letting people know about my new name, because if I told too many people, I felt sort of, like, vulnerable. So I did it
right.
Slowly, and now I do feel like Issa. And when I hear the name Jane Siberry, it sort of startles me.
Because it's like a person that you no longer identify with.
Yeah, Issa, that's how deep the sound of Issa is in myself now, I guess. But it's not a rejection of Jane Siberry. It's more of a Issa includes that energy, and it's not a rejection. I feel very lucky to have come from where I come from.
It's kind of like a next step, in other words, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It felt like time to make strong steps forward.
Okay, let's flash back a little bit. You know, I know a little bit about your background, and I know a little bit about you, and I don't want to delve into areas that you may not want to discuss. But this is a pretty general question. When you were a young lady, what was your inspiration in music, or who was your inspiration in music that got you where you know? Every artist I've ever interviewed and talked to, I've always asked them the same question: was there one specific thing you can remember that you said, this is what I want to do the rest of my life?
I can tell you about the moment when I understood the power of music. I don't know if I said to myself, I want to do that myself. And I think I was about 8 years old, and I had a little transistor radio, and it was lights out, but it was still light out. And
right.
I was listening under my covers to this music, and I heard a song that sort of woke me up on all levels. And I can't even remember what it was, Dave, but it's like it woke me up to what music really is.
And you're 8 years old when this takes place, though, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Woke me. And I bet everyone has a story like that.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
You know, when music first spoke to you. And then before that, I've always heard music in my head, though, and sat at a piano and played it by ear.
So, right.
Maybe I'm talking about lyrics. The lyrics really spoke to my little 8-year-old heart, so to speak.
So did you have? So obviously, you had musical training. You said you played the piano. So did you have piano? Did your parents give you piano training at an early age?
Yeah, they did. My mother did an amazing thing, and I used to take piano lessons, and then I would not do what she asked me to do, and then I'd play her something that I'd written and or made up in that language. And she chastised me, and I told my mother about it once, and my mother pulled me from classes, and I just continued playing on my own.
Wow.
I think that was wise of my mother.
Looking back on it, huh? God, what a great story.
I could have learned to really not like music, but she gave me enough space to keep going.
Wow. Okay, let's get into the music, because that's really what Issa is all about, is her music. And we started the show tonight with the opening of, I believe it's from your CD, City, and it was called Narrow Bridge. Tell me about Narrow Bridge.
Yeah, I do feel like we're living in times of great light and great dark, you know, and that
right.
And that things are like a bridge, that people are making choices. Like for me, I felt like I had to live or die if I didn't make a strong choice, so I chose to sort of let everything go and follow a different path.
Right.
And I think a lot of people feel that way. And so the narrow bridge is about the fact that often you don't feel like there are kindred spirits with you. You feel alone, and no one's going to proscribe exactly how it's going to work, but that we have to
right.
keep going and to take care of small things. That's one of the most important things I've learned. When I feel like dark forces are swirling around me, I will deliberately make my bed perfectly, or I'll shut the cupboard doors, or I'll use
right.
completion energy, like a circle, completing the circle energy, almost like protection. And I don't mean to sound too witchy or anything. It's not, but it's just you can get so stressed out thinking far ahead or thinking of the past that
I
find it very helpful just to focus on one simple thing, like even trying to do this interview without any other thought than being right here. I don't think a lot of people... I've had a lot of good training from really, really wise mentors, and that's something I've learned. And so partly I try to pass it on in my music.
Well, I think you've done a masterful job of that. Okay, we go out a narrow bridge, and we go immediately into the song, which I dearly love. And by the way, I got to tell all the Dave Rabbit fans out there, that all the songs that you're going to be hearing on this intimate interview and music collection of Isa are my favorites. And I'll tell you about her websites and all the other things that you can go to. But, I mean, she's got just a ton of songs that she's done over the years. But these just happen to be mine. So we go out of Narrow Bridge, and we go directly into a song that I fell in love with, and I had to have your agent, Carla Rice, send it to me. And that was from your When I Was a Boy CD entitled Temple. Tell me about Temple.
Well, what do you think it's about?
I mean, it's almost like a cosmic journey song, is it not? I mean, I listen to the song. I tell you, I sit there and listen to all of these songs. I bet you I've listened to each one of the songs that we're doing on your show 20 or 30 times. In fact, I the last 2 days alone, I have just been solid Isa on these songs. And it's like you want to get into a place in your life to where you're trying to arrive at a destination. When you want to get into the temple, I want to be part of that. I mean, I think it affects different people in different ways. But you know, when you wrote this song "Temple," I mean, obviously you're very passionate about what you do, Isa. That's the thing I love most about you. You're very passionate in your answers. You're very passionate in your music. In your own words, you know, how did "Temple" come about? Was there something that significant that happened in your life that was your inspiration, or how did it come about? It's a powerful song, I think.
Well, in 1989, I was on a plane to London, England with my band, and I turned to the bass player and I said, "I'm just about to change." And I did. I came back from the tour and I shut my door and turned off the phone and just stayed alone for about 2 months and started to, I didn't really know where I was going, but I knew that something was very close to me. I had to realign myself with something, and I think the song comes partly from that, and I don't mean it happened that year, but that year was a more obvious beginning step for, you know, the lifelong journey, of course, but...
Of course.
Yeah, and the temple that I found it very hard to talk about things that are important to me since I've been young, and...
Right.
You grow up in a world where, if you're sensitive at all, people see it as a handicap.
And exactly.
And I've seen it as a handicap until I started to see it as something that actually was a silk purse.
Right.
And I actually say to people quite a bit to try to say what I wish someone had said to me, that, you know, exactly what makes you seem prickly or in the derogatory term of diva or whatever.
Right.
Or to children who are really sensitive, saying they can't wear their red dress that day. Say, you don't have the words, but I'm sure you're absolutely right on some level, and you don't even have to explain it to me. Just tell me what feels right to you, and if you trust that, you're going to turn into a beautiful flower, your flower.
Wow. Boy, I tell you, I have been so looking forward to this interview with you, because I knew immediately listening to the songs that I wasn't familiar with, And a couple of the interviews that I saw on you on the Isa TV, which I love on the website, I knew immediately you were going to be this depth of person, and that it was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Dave Rabbit, just to be able to, A, call you a friend, and B, just be able to hear in your own words how you feel about what is very passionate to you, and that's your music. Okay, let's move on into something else now. Let's move on to your next song that we're going to showcase on your show. I thought it was, again, a favorite of mine. It's from, I think, your Speckless Sky CD, and it's entitled Seven Steps to the Wall. Tell me about Seven Steps to the Wall.
Well, that's one of the few songs that came from a book or something I can tell you specifically about, because... I was reading a book by Arthur Koestler called Darkness at Noon. And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was about a man who was in prison, but still he would, and the person in the cell next to him would say, when they take you down the hall to shoot you, don't turn around, just, you know, keep your dignity. And the seven steps to the wall was him in his cell keeping strong. But I guess the reason that appealed to me was on a different level. It's however we work with what we have. And,
right.
But the beautiful thing about the story that caught me was just the light coming into the cell and the image of someone sitting alone in a room, slightly bent over a table, writing, and the dust in the air, and the, that I suppose was the sort of shape that I first saw.
Right.
The story that I was reading gave it a cloak, so to speak, but that was the original shape.
Wow.
This might sound a bit strange, but I think a lot of people probably work this way. I'll see the shape of a song before I even know what it's about. If I could draw it, I would draw it. And sometimes I think I should have been a painter rather than a musician. Actually, I just started painting, maybe that too. But I see the shape before I know what the song's about. And then it's almost unravels like a ball of wool or something. A magnet, and then it finds the facts sort of become attracted to it. Does that sound weird?
Yeah, it leads me to a minor sidebar question, because you have become an artist now. Do you believe, and I know you have to answer from a personal level, but do you believe, Issa, that all of us have something inside of us, a creativity that's begging to get out, and that each of us has to find our own narrow bridge to accomplish that?
I don't like the word artist. I don't like the word begging. I think art is a reminder to us all of the greater, that the sanity of things,
right.
And a safety line to the greater. And that's why, I mean, it's always been considered one of the sacred arts, because it's a form of prayer and,
right.
And has the power to transform things. You know how you can be feeling really black and then you listen to the right music and it changes you completely, more than a pill or anything. It's that powerful. So, and yes, that everyone has that in them, and that everyone's an artist sometimes. And so artist is a fluid liquid.
Seven steps to the wall, and turn seven steps to the wall. Steps to the table, step away, move the chair to the square, and let's sit there, don't turn around. There is a man in a room, empty place, there's a wall, a table,
lie down and fade away, or get up and get away. something burned his face. He wants to write something down. He wants to sing a song or paint something. Lie down and fade away, or get up and get away. To the beat of the marching feet, he'll hear the prison beat there. All my life, where there's white, I have words, so I write.
Okay, well, let's talk about your next song that we're going to listen to from the CD of the same name, Bound by the Beauty. I thought this was just a magnificently beautiful song. Tell me about Bound by the Beauty.
When I wrote Bound by the Beauty, that was the first time I ever made any reference to the fact that things were less than perfect in the natural world, and I've always been very afraid for the earth, so that's the first time I ever put it into words, because I couldn't even think about it. So that was sort of a big deal for me, because I say in the song, I'm coming back in 500 years, and they better be here.
Right.
These things that we love. Yeah, but it's a song of everything that I love and that wanting the best for, so it's And it's October now, and is it October or September?
Still September, sweetie. September. But okay. We're close to October.
Well, I was just up in northern Ontario, and the geese are gathering, and the swallows, and,
oh, man.
And everything's changing, and all these most beautiful, precious things, and every day you look at the difference in the light, and the moss is a different color, and this Bound by the Beauty is just the most amazing planet. And
right.
And that bound, sort of like a boomerang, it keeps you coming back. If it was no longer beautiful here, I can't even go up there.
And I guess it's really magnificent up there in the fall, is it not?
Ontario is amazing in the fall, yes. Especially in certain, like Halliburton Highlands, which every hill you come over in your car, you just gasp, and you can't believe the colors are so vivid and bright orange and
right.
Yellow and red, and it's really like that moment in The Wizard of Oz, except all the time.
Oh, I love that analogy. Yeah, everything starts coming, all this beautiful colors and the magical kingdom and stuff. So it's just really, I bet it's breathtaking up there.
I'm bound by the fire.
Okay, let's go into another one of the songs that I picked is one of my favorites of all the Issa songs. And it's from your No Borders Here CD, and it's entitled You Don't Need. Now, I here again, it's another one of your songs that I absolutely have fallen in love with. Tell me about You Don't Need.
Dave, I don't mean to sound, I know this is a typical response, but it's hard to talk about songs in a way that comes from the same poetic place that you were when you wrote them. So often there's a feeling of sort of lowering the poetry by talking about it in a linear way, but you don't.
Okay.
You don't,
yeah.
It sort of says it. It's sort of the only way I could say it. But oddly enough, that's one of the songs I've continued to do in the last few years on tour. There's something about doing that song at the beginning of a show that, or near the beginning of a show, that settles people into something and
right
and tunes. Everything. So, I don't know what to say about it, except, it was...
Let's do a minor sidebar on that. I mean, to me, you as a... I know you hate the word artist, but I have to use that word to a degree. But you as Issa the artist, I mean, it strikes me in the short time that we've done our interview process that the music really says what it's about, rather than someone calling you up and saying, hey, tell me about that song. You would just prefer to let the music tell your story or the music tell your feelings. Now, am I missing that or not?
No, I hear other artists say that too. I'd rather have the music. But then I get frustrated and say, yeah, but what does this word mean and that?
Right.
So it's not just as simple as what you said, but you don't need anybody came from a really painful place in my gut, so that I know. There are a few things in it. No, I'm thinking about it. Slags of Mather Tydfil. I use Mather Tydfil as an example of a devastated town. It's in South Wales in the mining area.
Right.
And the coral slags are just heaped on the land, so it looks like the moon, or it used to. So...
Right.
I use that image, and part of my background as well. So, my heart is black in something. It is slags of Mather Tydfil. So
wow.
That's helpful to listeners. And then I say at the end, Bays Gelert, and it's Bays Gelert and Ringert. Bays Gelert is another Welsh term, and it's the burial place for a hound dog that was very faithful to his master, but his master killed him, thinking that he'd been a bad dog, but in fact he'd been a heroic dog. So it's a really, really upsetting story. And
wow.
So when I went to reach for the words to describe that's what... So in some
Amazing.
Cases I'm using references that people wouldn't necessarily know, but even the sound of the words, if it feels right, is enough for the listener.
Wow.
I believe that. And then it can go deeper if you want to.
You know, I'm just sitting here, Issa, on just like a dog at your feet, if you will. I'm just absorbing. I mean, it's like going to a Zen master and being out there and going, yes, master, tell me more. Because I am just enthralled with your passion about what you do. And I'm not naming names, but I've interviewed some artists before. And you have the most passion of any person that I have interviewed thus far in the last 18 months, at least. And it just, I'm just sucked in by your feel for life and your objectivity and your hope for a better world and a better place. And I know you have a special place in your heart for children and helping them along the way, because I know you've done several songs. In fact, there's quite a few on your website where they're basically children's songs, which I got a big kick out of. Now, the children's songs obviously weren't on my top six, but they're very interesting. Tell me, just as a minor sidebar, how did you get involved in children's songs?
I've never really written for children, except I get quite silly, and then people get silly back. And I've found the more I hang out with kids, the more silly I can be. So, I love being with kids. I love their energy. Although there seem to be a lot of kids who are very old already, and I don't
right.
wise. I mean, not you're silly with them, and they don't really get it. And
right.
I never really know what to think of that, but I was asked to write two children's songs finally for some Miss Sunny Patch and the Care Bears and Barney. So that was fun to do. And I really try to write the way I loved hearing songs when I was young, which I love hearing patterns and that are quite complex but that make sense.
Right.
I didn't dumb them down for the kids at all. There are a lot of parts going on. And the people I'm probably more concerned, I'm very concerned about teenagers, even more so than children right now, because I just think it must be very, very hard to be a teenager in this world. And when I see the kids, you know, with their closed foreheads and their anger and stuff, you know, always beneath anger is pain, and that's what it's all about. And they're not told to trust themselves and trained properly to live in this kind of world. They hear things like, you know, the potential for horror happening in an instant beside them is so different
right.
than when we grew up, where there was a certain kind of security. But and so I just, everywhere I can, I try to tell kids to write to me or to trust themselves. If they're sensitive, that's going to be a really great thing for them around. And just to hang in there. And if I find them really bored and they don't know where to channel their energy, it's like, well, you know, the world really, really needs you. So train yourself. Like, do a martial art and get your body strong. And then, you're needed. A lot of kids
right.
don't feel needed in this world. And that's not me knowing what to say to them or knowing the answer. It's just me fumbling, trying to, knowing there's a vacuum there and that when they get through, being a teenager, if they can get through safely, like the Merrill Purchase, like what a fine race of young kids we're going to have. But all the love, you know, and respect, no matter what they're doing. So.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more about that, because I think you've really hit the nail on the head.
I think it is the hardest when I see you look at her in a way if that was only meant for me, inspired by me. My heart is black and heavy, it is slags of Merthyr Tydfil, and it heaves once and then it sighs once, and then there's nothing more. So I walk on through the marshes, and my cheeks are burning white, and my hood is your rejection, and my pain is your connection, and a bird I don't recall, call, don't recall, call, don't recall. And I know you must be there, 'cause people stop to talk to you, people stop to talk, people stop to talk to you. To have yourself almost
thank you.
the wind howls across the ice floes, and the frozen froze quicken as I stumble to the tundra, and the tundra is my lover. And I lie here, I wait here, and I raise one arm unto the sky, and if I raise it high enough and hold it long enough, will the snow pull me back through? And it's bathed Gellert in frozen dirt. The snow is soothing, smoothing, soothing hand. You don't need anybody. You don't need any comfort. You don't need any lovers. You can get it from yourself. You don't need anyone to want you. Don't want anyone to need you. And I know you must be there, 'cause people stop to talk to you. People stop to talk. People stop to talk to you. So I ate a star from the far back black sky, and it floated up behind one eye and wavered.
Okay, let's go into the next song. This is all again from your Speckless Sky CD. One More Color. Tell me about One More Color. What was your inspiration for One More Color?
I think it was autumn again, Dave. Like bright blue skies and apples and colored leaves on the street and a basket of apples by the back door beneath the sweater peg. And then the chorus, blue, all we have here is one more color. Blue is just one more color. In other words, it could have been a song saying, being blue is hard, blah, 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 but right. And I don't mean blah, blah, blah in a negative way, but it's just a different way of presenting something. It if you put it in a happy context, it has a different effect than if you put it in a blue context. I sort of feel like I'm sounding in your interview like all about pain and blue and all that. I'm not.
No, not at all. Because I mean, I think it's your insight. Your insight tells people about your music. I think that's extremely important, Issa, that people know your opinions about things. And that's one reason why I told you, you know, when we first communicated a week or so ago, that I was going to do everything within my power to make your music heard by new fans, people that don't know who Issa or your former name of James Seabury, who those people are. I mean, when you hear your music, I know immediately because of my musical background, I know immediately what it was like to stand there with you as just an observer when you were doing these songs and your passion about the songs. To me, you've got to have passion. If you don't have passion about life, whether it's music, whether it's art, I don't care what it is. If you don't have a passion for what you do or a love for what you do, I don't think it tells the same story, do you?
No, but what would you say to people who don't have passion?
I don't think you could ever convince them, Issa. You know, a person the other day said, "Well, you know, how do you respond to this person saying such and such and such and such?" And I go, "Well, you know, if they have their mind made up, then you know, there's no way you're going to convince them otherwise." I think people in this world, they either get the message that people want them to understand and hear, or they don't. You just have those two types of people in the world. Unfortunately, you know, you have people that turn a blind eye or a blind ear to what they see and hear. I think that's unfortunate, don't you?
For them, yes. I really believe that people are exactly where they're supposed to be. So if they're turning a blind ear and a blind eye, and I love that expression, it's for some greater purpose that we don't have, we can't speculate about because we're not God. But it's right for them right now. Who knows, Dave, that if, like, in 10 years, if that's the right time for them to have passion, that all the years when they were sort of dulled down will give them extra force to move out with greater passion and help a lot of people or whatever.
Or, right.
I don't know. Part of me letting go, too.
Yeah.
Go into your last song, which is the one that actually made me absolutely dearly fall in love, not only with your music and your voice, but I want to talk about your websites real quick. You've got basically four different websites that I want to clue the fans in on. And the first one I've got clicked up here on my monitor is the www.issalight.com. That's ISSALIGHT.com. For the benefit of our listeners, when you click on to that, you're going to find all kinds of neat things. It has a little tab that says news. It tells about Issa's tour. You can join, be a member of the Issa fan club. It has a connection to the Sheba site, which is the musical site. and just different things. Well, I've got on this particular website, Issa, I noticed that you on your Snarling Dog tour, which starts, I believe, October 3rd, you have listed several people that are going to be with you when you do your tour. Tim Ray, is he still on for piano?
Yes.
And Rich Brown is going to join you November 8th, I believe, and he plays bass.
Yes.
Okay, and then tell me about Adrienne Pierce. Now, it says she's your special opening guest. Is she doing the entire tour with you?
She is, and I've taken her on another tour. She's really lovely and wonderful, and so we have a lot of fun together, yes.
Okay, and then also for our listeners, it says click here for dates, and if you click on that, it takes you to all the set dates. Now, Issa, is it possible that there'll be other dates set on this thing, or are the ones on your tour dates, is that pretty much it?
We have about four more dates that are in the works.
Oh, okay.
It's almost done, but a few more.
Okay, all right, and then the second website is Fleming Artist. And Carla Rice, who has just been absolutely gracious and absolutely a joy to work with. And I want to thank you, Issa, for putting me in contact with Carla. She's terrific. And that website is www.fleming, that's F-L-E-M-I-N-G, artist, A-R-T-I-S-T-S.com. Now, when you click on that, it'll take you to the homepage. Now, you'll notice that Fleming Artist represents a lot of different artists all over the world. And if you'll go down to Issa, I-S-S-A, and click on to that, then it'll take you to Issa's page. Now, here's the thing I love about this page, Issa. You know, of course, it's got some magnificent pictures of you on there, and it has like a where they can download your full bio and all that. I love this thing that says, make me an offer. You know, and I clicked on it and said, well, what's this make me an offer thing? So, I mean, you know, if you want Issa at a function or whatever or a concert or whatever, you click on that, and I guess you make Issa an offer that she can't refuse. And maybe you might be able to have this magnificent person in your hometown or whatever. Okay, now we're going to flip over to another site, which I absolutely fell in love with because this is your music site, and it's Sheba, and it's www.sheeba.ca. Now, it's /store, but if you just put sheeba.ca, that'll take you right there because it automatically forwards to the store. Now, on this site, this is basically your music catalog or what you have right now available as your music catalog. Now, this is where I want to go with you on this, and I've been dying to get to this part of the interview. You started something that a lot of artists would sit there and go, wow, that's absolutely crazy. That's nuts. You started something called self-determined pricing. Tell me about self-determined pricing.
Well, it's not donation or tips or anything like that. It's a transaction, as in two parties, transaction. I think it's based on the premise that if you treat people with respect, they respond from the best part of themselves. And that's how I like to be treated, so that's how I treat others. So people go in and they choose a song, and they can choose having it as a gift from me as a payment option. And that means there's no stealing, there's no bad energy. It's just I'm happy to give it to them as a gift.
Right.
Or they can choose a standard iTunes price if they don't want the stress of deciding, which I am. I know. Or they can download and pay later, so they're making an educated choice, or they can just choose. So it's like a flexible interface between the listener and the musician. So no one should walk away from the table without music if they want it.
I understand that you are no longer putting out a CD per se. You're strictly doing it from your website now. Is that correct?
That is what I've done for the past few years. I really don't know how to handle the new music, all my new Issa music. I have 33 new songs that are just about... I really don't know what to do, Dave, because it seems almost dishonoring the music to just put it up as an MP3. Because
right.
MP3s are, you know, you work so hard to create a world for people in a
right.
you know, sequence of songs, and people love the artwork and the lyrics and all that, and you can do that
right.
on the internet and put all the credits there, but there's something about the energy that is just I mean, people know that.
I know exactly what you're saying. I think someone that has the creativity that you do and the music that you have to give the world, and it's a gift from Issa to the world, in my estimation. I totally understand what you're saying, because an MP3 is just a mouse click. You know, you mouse click it, you listen to it, or whatever. When you purchase a CD, as if you decide to go that way on your compilation of what you're doing, you're really making a transition from point A to point B when you do that, because you're actually taking you as part of their life. Not that your music that's on the Sheba.ca website doesn't do that also, but actually I understand where you might be a little bit not really sure about what you want to do. Are you still, and you don't have to name a name, but are you still represented by a label that you might consider to do a CD as opposed to the MP3 version?
Well, that's a good question, and I have talked to different labels in the past, but everything seems sort of old-fashioned and old-world, and so I came up with a model for an artist label contract that I thought was really of the new world.
Right.
And it's too soon or whatever. I don't know. It just doesn't... I haven't found the right people, but I might put out a CD and just have it available by mail order through someone else. I don't know yet. I'm just waiting for the information to come to me, but...
Well, when you get to that point, if you would let Carla know, obviously she'll know as your agent, but if you'd let me know, then I'll be happy to pass on to the fan base so they know how to get your new stuff, whether it's on the Sheba.ca site or whether it's, you know, wherever, however you happen to do it, please be sure that Carla lets me know. Now, one thing I think is very interesting, and we're still on the Sheba.ca site, you have the pricing statistics that I think are really blowing me away. Now, everybody knows that they go to any website and you download the artist, as Issa says, it's 99 cents. You know, it's just 99 cents. I don't think there's a single site I've ever gone to that wasn't 99 cents. Now, I noticed that on your self-determined pricing concept, that the average price that you get per song is $1.16. You're getting 17 cents more per song because you're giving the people the ability to make their own intelligent decision. Did that surprise you at all?
I see every order that goes by, and I often have a good smile because sometimes the first thing people do is change the price to $1 because they hate that 99-cent manipulative thing. You know, so they can just see their clenched jaws and say, "I'm going to pay $1 for this one." And yeah, people are very happy to. One comment that almost made me, you know, weep when I read it, because it was the voice of truth for so many people. They said, "It is such a relief not to feel like a shoplifter, you know, who's going to take everything the minute someone takes off the brakes."
Oh, yeah.
That's how we're treated, and it just makes me so... And a lot of kids are coming to my site and downloading the music for free, and they say, "I can't believe you trust me. I don't have any money, but I know you want me to hear it." So that's...
Wow.
I write them back, and I'm very glad, and I know
that. Well, that really has to make everything that you do as Issa, you look on it and you go, "Wow." You know, because you know that your music's made an impact on people's lives, right?
Yeah, I do feel that. I feel it's made an impact on my life, too. I feel like it's been a gift to me as a person. It's an amazing thing, music. It's a real special thing. I don't mean my music. I mean just...
It's just the trip itself is an amazing trip. Yeah, I kind of understand that. I tried to communicate with you a couple of weeks ago, and one of the places I communicated to you with is on your MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/IssaLight. That's ISSALIGHT. I didn't know if you had people that were checking your stuff and you never, you know, heard it or whatever. And I sent you this long kind of a passionate, you know, "Boy, I really want to interview you, Issa," blah, 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 blah. And to my amazement, within 24 hours, you know, I had a response from you. It absolutely blew me away. I mean, you really have a connection with your fans.
Yeah, well, it took me a long time to go from arm's length to being more direct, but I like it, and it's actually very efficient. You know, I can when I had my company, before when I was on Warner Brothers,
right?
You know, there was a sense of, you know, a distance, and then the universe contrived to rearrange things in a better way, and I got so busy at Sheba that finally I'd be in there, you know, with everyone answering the phone, and then things went wrong, and I had the lessons of running a company that was was in trouble, and then I was the only one in the office, and I had to do things, and I just had to forget the whole, I guess, fourth wall, in theater terms. And now I'm comfortable with it, and I like it, and it's efficient, and it's truer, and I know how to put out feelers without getting so much feedback or too much response that I can't handle it. Before I used to, you know, say, does anyone know how to, you know, get aphids off their roses? Then I'd have, you know, like 300 emails. So I've learned how to use the internet energy a bit more efficiently, I guess, as everyone has.
And it's kind of a journey itself just to kind of learn about the internet and the amount of people that have the same passions that you do. Let's talk about the final song, which is Calling All Angels. Now, in the year 2000, I went to a movie that was called Pay It Forward. Kevin Spacey, Helen Hunt, Haley Joel Osment. And at the very end of the movie, there was a song that absolutely blew me away when the people are coming around with the candles lit, and then I hear this haunting voice that is singing a song called Calling All Angels. I was hooked, and I began researching and finding out and whatever, and that's when I found, at the time, Jane Seabury, who now is Issa. Tell me about Calling All Angels. There was two versions. You did an original version, Calling All Angels, and then you did one for the movie. What was the reason why they had you redo the song, Issa?
They wanted a choir at the end because of the scene in the movie where they had a lot of people singing. So that's why I redid it.
And didn't Katie Lang do a duet with you on that song?
She did on the original version.
Okay.
Also used in a Vin Vendors movie. But Until the End of the World, but no, not in the version for Pay It Forward.
Okay, well, listen, I know that you have previous commitments. I want to one more time remind everybody about your websites. One is www.issalight, that's ISSALIGHT.com. The second one is her agent, Carla Rice, at Fleming Artist, which is www.fleming, FLEMING, artist, ARTIST.com. Then the next one, of course, is the most important, which is the catalog store or the site for all of Issa's music at www.sheba.ca. And then, of course, if you want to talk to Issa personally, go to her MySpace at www.myspace.com/IssaLight. Well, Issa, I can't thank you enough for the time. And I really can't thank you enough for the passion of the interview and telling people about what your feelings are about your music and about the way you look at things. And I told you this on the internet when we emailed each other, and I'll tell you again publicly, I am a huge fan of Issa. I am a huge supporter of what message you're trying to bring to people, and anything that Dave Rabbit can do to put that message out to more people so that they know the kind of person that you really are, I will always be here for you.
Thank you, Dave. You're a poet yourself.
All right. Thanks, sweetheart. Okay, let's listen to Calling All Angels.
Santa Maria, Santa Teresa, Santa Anna, Santa Susanna, Santa Cecilia, Santa Cophelia, Santa Domenica, Mary Angelica, Frater Ashes, Frater Pietro, Julianus, Petronella, Santa, Santos, Mirissa, Padre, and all the rest.
Thank you. above you can hear the church bell start to ring. And as the heaviness, oh, the heaviness, the body settles in, somewhere you can hear a mother sing. Then it's one foot, then the other, as you step out on the road. Step out on the road. How much weight? How much? Then it's how long and how far and how many times. Oh, before it's too late. Come on. Through this wild, don't leave me alone. Call all angels, call all angels. We're trying, we're hoping, but we're not sure how. On every day upon the sunset with such love and intensity. Why, it's almost as if you could only crack the cold and you'd finally understand what this all means. Ah, but if you could, do you think you would trade it? All the pain and suffering. Ah, but then you'd miss the beauty of the light upon this earth, and the sweetness of the leaving. Calling all angels, calling all angels. Walk me through this one. Don't leave me alone. Calling all angels, calling all angels. We're trying, we're hoping, but we're not sure. Calling all angels,
calling all angels.
Calling all
angels, calling all angels.
Walk me through this.
Walk me through this.
Don't leave me alone. Calling all angels, calling all angels. We're trying, we're hoping, we're hurting, we're loving, we're crying.
You've just experienced Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. For more fun, audio, and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Nadira. Peace.